Hello, brilliant, lovely Hello. Men and women, boys, girls, cats, and dogs. This
and non-binary people.
All of you, welcome. Everyone's welcome.
Yep.
To Openly Beta's world famous Sandbox podcast. And this is actually quite a spectacular episode because it's episode 45, which is a large...
Oh my God.
It's our biggest number yet.
That's actually the latest episode of Sandbox we've ever done.
Yeah, it is. So, obviously, to commemorate this wonderful achievement in podcasting history, we are going to just talk about some news.
Yeah.
Before we do that, actually.
Just some stuff.
Jack, you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you, Jamie?
I am doing well.
That's good.
I can hear some lawn mowing outside.
Oh,
I thought it's either that or someone's chopping down a tree with a chainsaw. It's quite loud, actually.
Oh, well, luckily I can't hear it.
Fingers
crossed. You know, spring is on its way. Baby animals are going to be born. Other things are going to die.
Episode 45, ladies and gentlemen. So,
yep. The birds are chirping.
I've got some news for us to crunch through. Some pretty neat, like neat juice, actually.
Very good.
So we're going to start off with something that you probably have already seen yesterday from recording this podcast. Xbox and Bethesda finalized their deal. The European Union and all the other unions said, yeah, you can do that. And so, almost as if they knew that would happen, Bethesda released a video. It was called Here's to the Journey. And it's just a video of their history as a company.
Yeah.
And it just goes through... Did you watch it?
I didn't. I didn't actually know they released a video.
It just goes through their entire history, which is really cute because it starts off like really small. And they're like kind of, hey, we like games. We should make games and all that. And then you see their progression into a horrific corporate conglomerate territory.
Conglomerate, yeah.
And then... Like all the fish in the sea, they eventually get gobbled up by a bigger one right at the end of the video, being Microsoft. Yay!
There's always a bigger fish. Yeah, Microsoft announced that some games, at least, will be exclusive.
Yes.
And people freaks out in a very strange way because that seems kind of obvious.
So the way I've interpreted it is...
Yeah.
The games that are already coming to multi-platform, which we already know anyway, will obviously continue to be multi-platform. They've already said that before.
Yeah.
They haven't obviously specified which games are going to be exclusives.
No.
But something tells me I'd be shocked if Elder Scrolls 6
is wasn't exclusive. Definitely going to be.
Well, it might be, but...
Oh, no, I meant definitely going to be multi-platform.
I think it will.
Yeah.
I think that there's potential that... I mean, this is like 100 years in the future, but there's potential that Elder Scrolls 7 might not follow that trend, but also we could be flying around in hovermobiles by then, so...
I mean, yeah, it's kind of dumb to say definitely, but I just feel like... I don't think they're going to make more money making Elder Scrolls 6 exclusive because I think by that point, a lot of people already own their PS5s. People aren't going to be bothered about buying a new Xbox. I think it'd be far better for them to not make it exclusive, but I might be wrong. Also, the thing about it is we're saying that things are going to be exclusive, but everything's still going to be on PC as well because it's Microsoft.
Yes.
So it's really just PlayStation that's going to be missing out on things. And I guess Switch, but like, you know, I doubt many of these games are going to release on Switch anyway.
Well, if it's a Switch 2, I feel like the Switch would be the exception and it might actually get those games if it can run it.
Because maybe.
It's not in competition.
I was going to say, it's just not a competitor. The only thing they're worried about is the PS5.
Yeah. it's such an interesting thing. I reckon that Wolfenstein might be an exclusive, though.
Yeah. That's the sort of thing I think will be, because it's a big franchise, but it's much smaller than something like Elder Scrolls.
There'll be like a Dishonored 3 as well. Like
stuff
like
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, middle of the road AAA titles.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you say middle of the road, but there's no doubt about it that Dishonored, Doom, Wolfenstein are all way better games than Fallout 76, for example.
It's just they're not as, I don't know, they're not these huge franchises.
So you still have in your head, like, oh yes, Elder Scrolls and Fallout, like, they're huge. They haven't quite lost that mantle yet, but they're getting there. They're very close to losing that.
I mean, if they release... The thing with Fallout is the bad Fallout game was... It wasn't like a mainline... I mean, I don't know, because a lot of people didn't like Fallout 4 either. But I'm thinking exclusively about Fallout 76. But if you release like a main series title and it's terrible... After what Bethesda have been going through lately, that's when it starts to just, you know, that's when you kind of lose your reputation. Because they haven't really had that yet. Like, if Elder Scrolls 6 releases in 25 years and it sucks, that's the point where people stop caring about Elder Scrolls.
I think if it just takes too long at all, like, I think even now...
Well, yeah.
I do honestly think even... If they showed Elder Scrolls 6 gameplay today, I do think that it's been such a long time and too many bad things have happened with that developer that there won't be anywhere near as much hype as if they got it out of the gate sooner. I do think that it's starting to lose that.
Yeah, if they'd, like, I don't know, released a trailer for Elder Scrolls 6 before Fallout 76 came out, then maybe... But there's still going to be crazy hype, and, you know, Skyrim was such a huge monumental game that people, you know, still play nowadays.
It just concerns me. It's going to be hard
to quite lose that.
This is what concerns me about a lot of these types of games, is that they go, oh, Elder Scrolls 5 was really good, so we'll just do that again. And it's like, what people liked about Skyrim, and I appreciate that Skyrim had flaws even when it came out.
Issues.
But what people appreciated about Skyrim is that it represented another jump in open world gaming.
Yeah.
They can't just do Skyrim again. It has to represent a jump. That's why people get excited about Elder Scrolls, partly because traditionally they're at the forefront of open world RPGs. So they've got to continue to
That's the thing. It's like, we didn't love Skyrim just because it's Skyrim. We loved Skyrim because of the context of when it came out, and it's like, people love Pac-Man. If you just release Pac-Man
as
a triple A title.
Oh well, they have, haven't they? There's loads of £50 Pac-Man games they've released over the years.
No, that's true, to be fair.
The best
Pac-Man, people don't like it.
No. It's like Super Bomberman R. Like, let's release that for £50 and see how that goes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you've got to innovate somehow. You've got to do something new.
So the next piece of news that I want to bring up is, it's more rumours, and this pops up every so often on our podcast.
We love rumours.
We do. And this pops up every so often, not just on this podcast, but also on, like, every podcast on the internet that's talking about games.
Or otherwise.
And it's the Switch Pro. This latest rumor is looking very, 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 very likely.
I was going to say, this barely looks like a rumor, does it? It looks pretty, pretty official.
So I have seen some truly disingenuous headlines for this. So we at Openly Beta pride ourselves on our journalistic integrity.
Yeah, sure.
So this Switch looks to me, either it's going to be like a DSi type thing,
yeah,
where it's very small like little tweaks to make it a little bit more modern.
Yeah.
I should probably actually, for the listeners, just quickly go over what the rumor is.
Yeah. Let's just skim over that.
The rumor is
news.
The Switch, there's going to be some sort of upgraded Switch, which will be the same size, but with smaller bezels and a 7.2-inch OLED screen.
Yeah.
And it will support 4K, as in not that it will run games at 4K resolution, as in it will be able to output a 4K image onto your TV.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's
going to change the gaming landscape.
So back to what I was saying, the DSi, when it came out, was basically, it was the DS, but with some features to make it slot in a little bit better in the emerging smartphone world, basically.
Yeah.
Camera, it's like the UI was cleaner. Just the device itself looked a little bit more sleek.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm expecting with this model of the Switch.
Mm. That's what I think it's going to be. Just a slightly improved Switch for a little bit more money. But what headlines have you seen, Jamie?
Well, as I say, so this whole 4K output thing, classic, it's always going to make people roll people up on the internet.
Yeah.
Some people are saying,
completely misinterpreted,
we don't need 4K. Other people are going to say, oh yeah, right, 4K, more like 520p. Like, no. So right now, and I don't really, it's a bit weird. So right now, the Switch runs on the Tegra X1 chip, which natively supports 4K already, which is weird.
I didn't know that.
And the Switch, for some reason, the UI on the Switch is 720p. For whatever, even on a TV, it's 720p.
Mm.
People have been asking for ages for, like, can you just make it look cleaner? Or, like, can you just... Because it can output 4K, so why not just have the menu at 4K? Nothing else, just so it looks clean on your TV, right?
Yeah.
4K output could mean 4K Netflix support, YouTube 4K videos.
Yeah.
Which the Switch, the chip literally supports that already.
Yeah.
There is a Tegra, it's like a refresh chip, and I think it's called the Tegra X 1.2 or something, which apparently is what this new Switch is using, which is literally just like a slightly improved version of the same thing.
Yeah.
Onto the headlines that I saw.
Yep.
I saw, this is the worst example, and I believe it was Tech Radar who posted this.
Oh, brilliant.
The headline was something along the lines of, what can we expect from the Switch 2? It's like, yeah, sure.
I'd love to read the contents of that article as well.
That is why people get mad. Because people see Switch 2, and then they keep reading, and it's like 720p screen. It's like, what? Unbelievable. The Switch 2, 720p? That's a small number. And they read like slight improvement. Like Switch 2, more like Switch Poo. Which is really stupid.
That's good though.
Are you gonna get the Switch 1.2?
I'm not gonna get the Switch 1.2. I'm very satisfied with my Switch 1.0. Personally. What about you?
I am also perfectly happy with what I've got.
Yeah. I don't need any more features for my Switch. I'm happy with it. If I didn't have a Switch, I probably would. Because, why not? As long as it's priced fairly.
There is an exception to
that. But
it's
Nintendo. Oh, yeah.
I would buy it if it actually was going to increase the performance a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't even mind if it's not that much. It's just, it could do with just a little bit more juice.
Yeah.
Just some games are just kind of, they just need a little bit more of a push.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm really happy with the Switch as it is. It doesn't really need much more.
I mean, you also play much more intensive games than I do. I play like Animal Crossing and Mario Kart.
Mario Kart's a beautiful, beautiful game.
Oh, yeah.
It's despite being incredibly old, it's an absolute showpiece for what the Switch can do.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's not quite as janky as the Hyrule Warriors Extreme Fighters Edition.
Yeah, it's the worst one is still to this day, like Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yeah,
like, I can't get over how funny that looks sometimes.
But you know, stuff like that.
People crack me up also on the
probably
on
benefit from a Switch Pro.
And this isn't just people commenting either. This is like people reporting news on podcasts and stuff that I've seen do this, where they throw around, oh, a Switch, hopefully, finally, we can have 1080p 60. That's all I want. Mario Kart 8 is 1080p 60. Like, 1080p 60 is meaningless. Like, if a developer wants their game to run at 1080p 60, they can. They just need to make the game... They
That's
need to make sacrifices in other ways. Like, they make the graphics worse or whatever. You can do that. That's... Like, saying, oh, finally we'll have this, doesn't mean anything, because all it will mean is that loads of developers will just make better-looking games at the same crappy resolution and frame rate. That's just that's all it is.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to say, it's surprising how many articles you read online which don't quite get that.
Yeah, even though it's articles from people who should get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole
the media for you.
I say that's a whole conversation.
Right, so on the subject of the media, we're now going to talk about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
That is something
that's the biggest
out of
gaming
the scope,
controversy.
That's out of the scope of this podcast. And any
Jamie
comments on that will get us into prison.
We can talk about anything we like on Sandboxed.
We can. And I do think on this podcast, we're generally pretty good at reining it in and keeping it game and film, to be fair.
Hey, Meghan Markle has been in films. Right, okay, Jamie, next news.
So this is a little bulletin.
Yep.
We're not going to talk about it that much. It's just that Valheim has sold 5 million copies now.
That's really exciting. I'm extremely happy Valheim's taken off so well. I really hope more companies see this as, oh, I should try hard and get my early access game to a good point before I start selling it to people for money.
Yep.
I hope it doesn't lead to, oh, I can do really successful off of an early access game that isn't even finished yet. I just need to make it Viking themed, and then you just get loads of trashy Viking early access games that are terrible.
That
people will do that.
Will happen.
Yeah.
And I think that, unfortunately, in this industry, it's time and time again, it's shown that early access just works. And releasing a game with almost zero hype and marketing, if you've got the right game, it will just kick off. It will go crazy. And people will jump on that bandwagon. It's like Apex Legends wasn't like a crazy success. But when Apex Legends came out, they just shadow dropped it. And it got really popular really quick.
Yeah.
It could be done. I think that's what they might take away from it.
Yeah, I just... You know, the reason it's good is because it's so good. That's the reason it's done well.
Yeah.
But, you know, people like to ignore that. People like to... I don't know. They just see that early access game has done well, and that's the lesson they take from it.
I know.
And it's very sad and upsetting.
And it's difficult to completely disagree with that logic, because there are some horrible early access games.
Successful.
Yeah, there's some horrible, terrible early access games, which might not have the longevity that Valheim is probably going to have, but
yeah,
if someone can spend £1,000 making a really bad game and then make £100,000 back, like, do it.
I mean, there are loads of, we've talked about this a lot before, there's so many early access games that are so broken and janky, and a lot of the time they release as broken and janky, but they've already sold millions and they don't care anymore. Like Ark, we talked about Ark before. A lot of people find Ark very fun, but you cannot deny that that is an extremely janky game.
But Valheim is not, presently. It's fantastic.
No, I don't think we've encountered any bugs. It's just great.
We encountered one, and it was completely not an issue, where an enemy was called, like, insert enemy name slime monster or something.
Oh, yeah, the slime are, like, unnamed currently, yeah.
But they fixed that. They're now called Blob.
There you go.
I want to move on quickly.
Go for it.
There's a few things, but we're going to keep it nice and snappy, I think. But I found this one particularly juicy.
Yeah.
Remember Artifact? The card game?
Vaguely, yeah.
made by Valve. Like, Valve's newest game.
Yeah.
Valve have officially stopped developing it.
Oh.
Not only that, but they have now ceased all microtransactions on it and have given away all of the content in the game for free.
Man.
You can download Artifact still and play it online, and you will have every single card completely off the bat.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's pretty cool, right?
They
the people who spent loads of money on it.
I think those people get something as well. They basically released a thing saying, yeah, it didn't live up to our expectations at all. We tried. We failed. And then at the bottom, it's kind of like, we're giving it all away for free. And it's like, it says something like, yes, really for free. 100% the whole thing for free. Thank you very much for those who supported us.
I mean, I googled the word Artifact, and the first thing that came up is how Artifact became Valve's biggest failure.
I have to say, it's a very pleasantly Valve thing to do, to just be like, yeah, just have the whole thing for free.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's good. Bless them.
It is interesting, isn't it? People were just done with those types of games, I think.
Well, yeah, this game came out in 2018, like end of 2018, end of November 2018. I have like very vague memories of this as if it's a very old game. I thought it was like 2014 or something. I say very old, you know what I mean?
There's just nothing, there's nothing that differentiates it from all the other card games.
No, I mean, like, you know, Magic. Why would I play this over Magic the Gathering?
Or Hearthstone, like, that's probably...
Hearthstone, yeah. Probably better comparison. I know very little about card games.
No, I don't. I don't claim to either. But yeah,
no, it's fine. You've claimed.
I hereby claim I am the expert of all card games.
Heely, heely.
So the two quick things to round off this news section. The first thing, I just saw this and I thought it was really funny just to mention it. last week, the Wii U got its first update since 2018.
That's so interesting. What was the update?
So almost certainly...
All of them shut down.
No, well, it was almost certainly to quench any homebrew stuff on there. It was probably just like a... Because it's tons of... The Wii U is a great machine for homebrew software now. And they probably just released an update to make it a little bit more difficult for you to put homebrew on it. Because the
just to make it a bit worse.
Well, yeah, probably, because the actual update is fixed stability issues. It's like, yeah, right.
Remove Herobrine.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's very, very funny.
The last thing that I have for you, game related, is
hit me.
There was a game. Now, I don't think we talked about this last week because I don't think it was announced at this time last week. Aliens Fireteam was announced last week.
You did mention this last week.
Did we?
Yeah, well, you mentioned it briefly because we were saying that's quite exciting that a new Aliens game.
I thought we might have done.
Yeah, I don't think we knew anything about it though. I'm not sure if we still don't.
So they've released some information now. This is actually news. They've released the classes. So it's a 3-player co-op shooter.
Yeah.
But there are 5 classes to choose from, which are Gunner, Demolisher, Technician, Doc, and Recon.
Okay. Pretty standard.
Pretty standard. You've got
Scout.
You've got Healer.
Sniper.
DPS. AoE.
Tank.
Healer. Yeah, tank. That's it. Following that
Alien
trend of those types of games, they also released some of the enemy types.
Cool.
Now, they said some stupid thing, like there's like 32 different enemy types, which is mental. They released 6. I believe it was 6.
Especially in an Alien game.
Yes.
Like, there's not that many variations of aliens in the films.
Well, of course, the aliens can be whatever you want them to be because by nature, they are forever adapting and evolving as creatures.
Yeah.
I don't know the actual names of the creatures, but they
xenomorphs
perfectly follow the specific types of xenomorphs that they showed.
Okay.
But they are literally the Left 4 Dead special zombies.
I was about to say Left 4 Dead zombies. What have you got, like a boomer
Zuma, charger, spitter, tank, and hunter, the whole lot.
Millennial.
It's literally like for like with Left 4 Dead. It's pretty funny.
I knew you were going to say that as soon as you mentioned alien variants.
Yep.
That's fair. I'm still quite excited to see more of that.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of down for it. I'm down.
Yeah.
If it's, again, fairly priced.
Yeah.
Like if they release this for £30, I might, if it looks good, I might be down for that.
Yeah. Could be a lot of fun.
So obviously they have like a billion different classes. I'm assuming we're going to get some androids, some robots as well. Maybe even some we've got the engineers who exist in this world too, who could be like a boss, I guess.
Yeah. I would love it if one of the classes is just David.
Oh yes.
I'll do the fingering.
They could have I've lost it now. Predator. Oh. They could have Predator.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say that earlier actually, Predator. Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
They could have the big squid octopus monster.
Is that only
should I
Oh go on.
No, you go, because I was gonna move us on.
I want you to move us on.
Oh, okay.
Move me.
I will move you. Or should I move us on to some quick little movie news?
I can't wait.
So I didn't actually realise, but Raya and the Last Dragon actually released.
Yeah.
I didn't realise it came out already. I thought it was more of a summer thing. It had a worse performance in its opening weekend than Warner Brothers' Tom and Jerry movie did. Now, ooh. I had very bad things about Tom and Jerry. However, there is a very interesting thing that happened with Tom and Jerry, which may have affected this.
Right.
So, it released on HBO Max, I'm pretty sure, which I don't think we even have in the UK.
No.
There was a glitch, a bug, when Tom and Jerry first went up on HBO Max, where families with their young children would gather around to watch the new Tom and Jerry movie starring Michael Pena and Chloe Grace Moretz. They'd get all excited, they'd click on it, it'd load up, it'd buffer, it'd start playing. They are met with Zack Snyder's Justice League director's cut. Now, this movie was not supposed to release yet, so many people watched the Snyder cut early via Tom and Jerry.
I have not heard of that. That is so funny. I'm surprised.
It was pretty big news. So a lot of people have now seen the Snyder Cut.
Well, they might as well just release it.
Yeah, I don't know what their plan is. It's still, you can't find it online somehow. Apparently no one downloaded it. Maybe that's changed now. Yeah, so I wonder if that improved Tom and Jerry's performance, because legions of people were heading over to Tom and Jerry to watch the Snyder Cut.
I feel like they fixed it. That's a given, right? Almost certainly.
Yeah, they fixed it relatively promptly, but
that's what happened.
Somehow. I mean, I'm like certain that it was intentional, and it was the best publicity stunt to boost Tom and Jerry's numbers. Because I heard some bad things about that film.
I mean, the trailer was god-awful.
I mean, it just doesn't look like Tom and Jerry, really, does it? So that happened. Which is a lot of fun. People saw the Snyder Cut nice and early.
Yeah, but
and they didn't have to watch Tom and Jerry.
The new Disney Princess movie, was that good or bad?
I don't know.
Okay.
It looks pretty standard to me.
Yeah.
I kind of just completely skimmed over that in favour of the Tom and Jerry Snyder Cut.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. It's critically acclaimed. It's got good ratings. I'm sure it's as good as any other Disney Princess movie. You know, they're usually pretty good movies, at least.
Yeah.
Unless they're Moana, in which case they're incredible Disney movies.
I haven't seen Moana, but
and Tangled. Tangled's underrated. Tangled and Moana are superior to Frozen. Anyway, other movie news. We've seen some promotional images of Space Jam 2, A New Legacy.
Yeah, I think I saw this, actually, yeah.
Have you seen Space Jam?
No.
That's something we never talk about. I love Space Jam. It's such a terrible, campy mess.
I know nothing about Space Jam.
And the acting is hilariously awful. It's great. I love it. It's filled with simultaneously athletes who can't act and who are desperately trying, and famous actors who can act who don't care and aren't trying at all, like Bill Murray.
Oh,
and then there's just the Looney Tunes there. So that's fun. That's what the sequel's going to be. It's also going to be on HBO Max. The plot of the sequel, the bad guy is played by Don Cheadle, and he is called Algorithm. And he's trying to steal LeBron James's Instagram followers, I believe.
This sounds like a terrible, terrible movie already.
And LeBron James and his son, Dom, played by Cedric Joe, I'm reading this directly off the Wikipedia page if you can't tell, who dreams of being a video game developer, they get trapped in a virtual space by Algorithm. And then the Looney Tunes have to help them. The Looney Tunes in this movie are kind of, they're 3D CGI.
Yeah.
Which is quite weird. This might be controversial. I don't think it looks that bad from what I've seen the images. Okay. But it is a bit weird because kind of the charm of the first movie and a lot of those sorts of movies, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, is having the 2D hand-drawn animation colliding with the live action.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of the whole deal, yeah.
So it is kind of a weird choice, and I feel like I would still prefer that, and it would probably actually look better. But I don't actually think the CGI looks awful, but I don't know, it seems kind of like a weird choice.
I'm trying to have a look now. To see
what this looks like. If you search Space Jam 2, I'm pretty sure you'll immediately get a picture of it.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah.
It doesn't look terrible, in fairness.
No, it looks far better than I thought it would be when I heard, you know,
this does
CGI not, Bugs Bunny.
This movie does not belong in this decade at all.
It like, doesn't.
Who watches Looney Tunes anymore? Like, that's not popular at all, is it?
No, but you know what, Jamie? We're over 80s nostalgia now.
We're arriving at the age
of 90s nostalgia, and that is the best.
The 90s
was the weirdest decade.
No, you're right.
There was no style. There was no theme.
No, not, I'm actually so down for some 90s nostalgia, definitely.
I kind of weirdly feel like it's the perfect time for Space Jam 2. So the plot obviously sounds horrendous. It's Don Cheadle's trying to steal LeBron James's Instagram followers, and for some reason his son wants to be a video game developer. Why is that included in the plot? Yeah, is that going to play into it?
Bizarre.
But it looks like it's going to have a Wreck-It Ralph 2 / Emoji Movie type plot where they have to go through other Warner Brothers properties. This is what I've heard. I don't know if this is true. This may be a rumor. But I think there might be an aspect of it where they are traveling through the Wizarding World and
what?
Godzilla and DC.
The whole basketball angle is so bizarre in the context of everything else that you've just said.
I mean, even in the first film, it was very tenuous. The first film ultimately was about slavery, but I don't know how the link is going to tie it in this film.
So this is a really strange movie. And I
can I just say, when I said the word slavery, can we do a hard zoom on your face? You went.
I haven't seen the first one, so it's a little bit surprising.
The images of LeBron James for this film, he looks so serious.
Yeah. I have to say, I as someone who is not familiar with this now franchise.
Yeah.
I actually do love how just downright bizarre it is. Like, it's completely just we're making this bizarre movie and we're gonna rock it, and I quite like that. Yeah. Actually,
that's the thing I love about Space Jam, is it's such a weird film, and a lot of the times it's absolutely awful, and Michael Jordan's acting is just terrible. It's like the worst acting I've ever seen.
Wow.
But like, it's so charming at the same time.
You know what? I'm looking at this CGI picture of Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, I kind of can't stop looking at it.
It's not terrible.
It's
really
not.
It actually kind of looks all right.
As much as I hate to say it, it's really not that bad.
It actually, somehow, is quite a successful transformation of the 2D character into a 3D model.
Yeah.
Like, it looks pretty cool.
It's still stylized in that, you know,
crazy way, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a Looney Tune still. There's also been a lot of controversy about Lola Bunny being undersexualized or desexualized.
I don't understand. Carry on.
Well, I'll just say, so Space Jam came out in, what, 1996 or something? It was 1996. Man, what a shout. Think about the rise of furries over the past half a decade, let's say. And then think about the fact that a lot of these people will have seen Space Jam during their formative years. Now, I'm not saying that Lola Bunny is the sole reason for the intense rise in furries, but that is definitely what happened. So they're toning that back a bit for Space Jam 2 with a bit of a redesign.
Yeah, I've seen... I mean, obviously I know who bloody Lola Bunny is.
Lola Bunny.
And I've seen vaguely that people mention this about this movie. It's very bizarre. I mean, this conversation is bizarre that we're even having to talk about this in any way. Who cares?
That's what we're in at the moment.
Who gives a damn about that character? What?
Well, apparently there's intense outrage. Well, the director of Space Jam 2 said it's going to be better than the first. So there we have it.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm
why
seeing a Tweety Bird
that?
Here. It looks pretty good as well. It looks better than Sonic the Hedgehog CGI, I'll say that.
This movie, and I could be, it could be an absolute dumpster fire. And it,
yeah.
I'll eat my words if it is. But this has the groundwork for an actual good movie that understands exactly what it is.
Whereas yeah, that's the key. It needs to understand what it is.
Sonic, it does actually seem like it's so absurd that it looks like it actually understands it. Whereas Sonic the Hedgehog absolutely was trying to just... There was... Most of that movie was trying to be a generic, fun kids movie.
It was trying to be all the other live-action CGI mashups, Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Smurfs.
Yeah, it was. It was exactly that. It was exactly that, yeah.
There's always a scene where there's a man, a white, brown-haired, attractive 30-something man driving a car with his CGI character in the passenger seat going...
Which feels... And that feels like that feels so 15 years ago, and that movie felt so dated.
Yeah.
The only thing which redeemed that movie... was Sanic was actually in the movie, which is beautiful.
Yeah, it needs some self-awareness. Like Sonic Boom. Sonic Boom is a great show because it's got so much self-awareness.
Honestly, make Sonic Boom their next... Take their exact humour and make that into a movie. That would become an instant classic.
Yeah. It'd be great. That's all you need.
Is that your movie news?
That's all my movie news, I'm pretty sure.
That was some good movie news.
I don't think I have anything else to say. But I will say that post-lockdown, we are definitely watching Space Jam together. And there's a million drinking games we can play.
A million drinking games. And there's a whole list of movies. It's going to...
Yeah.
We're gonna have to, I'm going to have like another year's lockdown to make up for all the things that we haven't done in this year's lockdown.
That's the thing, as soon as lockdown ends, Jamie and Jack are immediately locking themselves inside again, but just together this time.
And you, it's the gonna listener, be great. Will be joining us. I would like to talk about what I've been playing.
Do it.
To get some games, just drop some game talk in here now.
Yeah, has to be done.
I've been playing a few games. And there's one I'd like to focus on, which is Resident Evil 5. So I played last night Resident Evil 5. I played half the whole game. I had a real sesh. And it's such an interesting game to play in 2021.
Yeah.
It's such a product of its time. It is such a brown game. Like, it is so funny. Because that was the era of very, very serious brown games.
And movies,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a part of that
yellow
game...
Yellow filter over everything.
Yeah. So there's a part of the game, and it was always kind of like, we're playing it like, this is so brown. And then there's a scene where you walk out from a cave, and it's like comically brown. It's like they put a brown filter, like a heavy, heavy brown filter over it.
Yeah.
And then cranked up the contrast big time. And it just looks it looks so appalling. And you know exactly what they were going for. And at the time, RE5 was like really pushing the bar for graphics, I think. Like,
yeah.
And don't get me wrong, it's hardly a horrible looking game. Like, obviously it's dated by today's standards, but like,
yeah,
it's not like it's unplayable or anything. It's just the brown filter.
The only thing that looks unrealistic is Chris Redfield's huge body.
You've got Chris Redfield's, like, you can see like the spheres that they've got underneath his body. He's so spherical in every way.
Oh, I love it. It's set in Africa, isn't it?
Set in Africa.
So do you think brown filter is Africa's equivalent of Mexico's sepia filter?
No, because like all the Call of Duties that set in the Middle East also had brown filters. Battlefield had a brown filter.
But to the West, Africa and the Middle East are just...
No, you're right.
Oh, you know, that area of the world.
It's...
To us ignorant Westerners.
It's a very weird game. And... It's kind of, especially after playing modern Resident Evil games.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no puzzles. Like, there is technically puzzles, but they're such a non-issue and obviously not part of any particular gameplay.
Challenge.
The
Does
encounters...
It feel like it's even in the same franchise?
No. They made Resident Evil 4, which was a big departure.
Yeah.
And they obviously tried to just do another Resident Evil 4. But the enemies aren't interesting enough. Mm. And it's kind of... What annoyed me is it wasn't sure whether it wanted to be survival horror or just pure action.
Yeah. I never really got survival horror from it.
Well, the first mission in the game, we really struggled on. The rest of it we were fine with. But for some reason, we really struggled on the very first chapter. Mm. And it's because we were expecting action from what we knew about the game. We hadn't played for it before. Mm. But the first chapter, it encourages you... Well, what you're supposed to do is just run away from all the zombies.
Mm.
Using as little ammo as possible to buy time for a helicopter to come in and save you.
Yeah.
But there's no timer. And there's no real indication that there ever will be actual backup.
A helicopter.
Like, they keep saying there were backup, but it's unclear
whether...
That
sounds like an indication.
Well, it's unclear whether they're... You know how games are like, oh, we've got to wait for backup, but in actuality, the real objective is kill all the zombies and then it will happen?
Yeah.
If you try and kill all the zombies, you'll run out of ammo and then you will die.
Yeah.
But then the rest of the game, it's just straight up action.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
That is a very bizarre one.
I had fun.
Yeah.
You know what it felt like?
What?
This is the best comparison I can make. It felt like House of the Dead in an arcade.
Oh, that's a really good comparison. Like, even House of the Dead, I feel like was spookier.
Oh, yeah. But it's just like the gameplay. Not only does the gameplay... There's a whole segment.
Very over the top.
No, well, not even that. Just like the zombies look the same as House of the Dead. But also, the fact that you can't aim and move at the same time. So quite often you are just standing there, just pivoting, shooting and shooting and shooting.
Yeah.
There's a whole section, like a whole chapter, which is on rails, and you have this big monster that you shoot its glowing points at.
Yeah.
With an infinite machine gun, and it
like Rayman Raven Rabbids.
Literally nothing like that. The one other reason why we were struggling so much with chapter one, is because the controls are a shock to the system. My goodness. Just like, not only the keys are kind of weird, like you can't, there's no scroll wheel for your weapons. You have to stop, press E for the inventory, not I, E. Mm. And then it brings up this menu, which you then have to navigate using the directional buttons, not WASD.
Yeah.
And then you press enter on a gun. That's like a whole, you have to like kind of sit and think about it.
Learn,
that.
Yeah.
You
have to like reconfigure what you know about how to play games.
Chris Redfield and, what's her name? Sheva? I think it's Sheva. They control like actual tanks. So if you're not standing still, the turning circle of these human beings is worse than like a modern tank. So you have to stand still to actually pivot. It's so funny, honestly.
I mean, that's just because Chris Redfield's got so many muscles. It's hard for him to like move.
It got me thinking though, that the Resident Evil franchise is actually more like a series of trilogies. So you've got Resident 1, 2, and 3, ignoring all the spin-offs like Code Veronica the core games. You've got Isometric View, the first three. And then the next three are kind of action, points racking up type games.
Yeah.
And then 7, 8, more arcade. And potentially 9...
Mm.
But 7 and 8 are your spooky, gritty first-person horror games.
Yeah. No, that is really interesting. I never actually thought of it like that. I hope they continue on the 7-8 path. What if 9 is just 5 again?
That would be... There's definitely room to do a spin-off. And you know that they wanted to do that with Resident Evil 7, with the Chris Redfield DLC.
I was literally going to say that. DLC is a good place to... Pardon me, to put that sort of thing. I definitely didn't just vomit in my mouth a bit.
Whatever that was, I didn't hear, so you're lucky.
That's good. Yeah, like, that's a good place to put that sort of thing. Stick it in some DLC. Because, yeah, Resident Evil 7's DLC was just pure insane weirdness.
Yeah, yeah.
Jamie, really your cool. camera does not want to focus on your face. Yeah, Stop trying to make it.
What have you been playing?
I actually haven't been playing anything at all. I would have to think long and hard to think of anything I've been playing. But if you haven't been playing anything else, I can move on to what I've been watching.
I want to hear that.
Should I do that instead?
Yep.
So, I watched a movie. It was a couple weeks ago now, but we haven't talked about it yet, called Eighth Grade. Have you heard of it?
Oh, you've mentioned that to me before. Yeah, I know the one.
Yeah. It's made by director Bo Burnham. By director, I mean comedian and actor Bo Burnham. He's a very funny man. I like Bo Burnham a lot. He's very clever. He's extremely young. How old is he? Let's look that up. He's 30. So he was like 27, 28 making this film. It was his directorial debut.
That's quite impressive.
Yeah, and he's known for... He's got quite... quite edgy, quite silly humour in his stand-up. It's still very clever. He does, like, poems and songs and stuff. But he's always quite... When you see him in interviews and stuff, he's very sensitive and very kind of self-aware. And he'll talk about mental health issues and stuff like that. But for a lot of people that didn't know that, it's probably quite funny to know who Bo Burnham is and then see him direct this film, which is... It is very sensitive, and I don't even know how to describe it really, but it's called Eighth Grade. It's about a girl in eighth grade. Next year, she's starting high school. So what's the equivalent for us? She's like in year nine going into year 10. She's like 14, I think, maybe 15. And it sounds so cliche. Sounds like, oh, it's an American high school movie. But it's not like that at all. It's Barack Obama's favorite film of 2018.
You did tell me that, actually. I remember seeing the trailer for this movie.
Yeah.
And thinking, like, this is a American high school movie done in a very different way. Like, yeah. It does actually look quite interesting.
It's produced by A24, and I mean, I know A24 probably have some duds, but I generally like A24 movies.
They have so many movies under their umbrella, it's crazy.
Yeah, like, yeah. But, yeah, so it's about this girl called Kayla. She does these YouTube videos as well. She does, like, a little vlog that just no one watches, and it's just her talking into the camera for, like, 3 minutes, giving advice about things. And I think that's kind of cute because Bo Burnham started off on YouTube, so he's probably kind of, I don't know, a bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, autobiographical there.
Okay.
And it's just her doing these little videos and no one watches them, and she's kind of giving advice about things and kind of lying about her life a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, after she's done this video, it will show her at school and stuff, and it's her kind of trying to take the advice that she's just given to other people, trying to put that into action.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cool. And like sometimes something will happen to her and she'll realize something and then she'll go and make a video about it. But obviously she'll kind of be telling it differently. Like, oh, this just happened to a girl at my school, but really it just happened to her.
Oh.
But it's basically, it's just about this 14-year-old girl. She's obsessed with social media. She's always scrolling through Instagram and stuff. It's just her and her dad, and she's really, really horrible with her dad. Oh. And her dad's just the nicest guy. He'll be, like, trying to talk to her at dinner, and she'll have her earphones in, and she'll be like, you said I could listen to music at dinner, and then just put her earphones back and ignore him. And he's just, like, desperately trying to talk to her. But then, like, she doesn't really have many friends at school, and, you know, she likes this boy, blah, blah, blah. But it's really good at both she's very flawed as a person, obviously, because she's so, you know, she's horrible to her dad. She's obsessed with all these things. But she's also interacting with these things in such a realistic way. Like, it shows her scrolling through Instagram and clicking on things and liking things in the way that a 14-year-old actually uses Instagram.
Nice.
And she'll, like, you know, private message people on Instagram or on Facebook or whatever. She'll scroll through Tumblr. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, yeah, this is how I use my phone. I'm just mindlessly doing things.
Yeah.
I'll check messages from different devices. When she's texting people, she's not just using a random string of numbers and letters. She's writing in slang, but in full sentences, because that's how children text nowadays. Children don't say, "How are you?"
No one does that.
But they do in films. But because Bo Burnham is still quite young, and he not grew up so much, but he uses technology at a relatively young age, he understands how this stuff is used. And I'm pretty sure he wrote it and directed it. He completely created all of it. So it's like, yeah, this is all realistic stuff. There's a bit where, so at the beginning of the film, there's like a popular girl at school who's always on her phone. And like, she's, the main girl's walking home from school, and this popular girl's being driven home by her mum. And the mum pulls up next to the main girl, Kayla. And she says like, hi, thank your dad for blah, blah, blah. Like, they met at some parents' evening or something. So she knows her dad. And then the mum invites the girl to her daughter's birthday party. So it's like a popular girl's pool party, basically. And you're like, oh God, she's going to have to buy a bikini and do all this stuff. And it's all awkward and embarrassing. And then the girl texts her later on Instagram. And she says, my mum told you to invite me to my birthday. So this is me doing that. It's like, that's worded in such a realistic way. That's how a 14-year-old girl would invite another 14-year-old girl they didn't want to invite. But she ends up going, and it's kind of hinted that the reason the mum has invited her is because she, like, fancies her dad, basically.
So there's little bits
like that where it's, okay, like, all the characters kind of do things for reasons. But it gets to the end of the pool party, and it's like, there's awkward moments and some things happen, but there's nothing really big and like a big humiliating, oh my God, thing happens. Yeah. It's just little things. And it's like that throughout the whole film. It's just little things happen. I won't spoil much of the film because I desperately want you to watch it. But I'd say my least favorite part of the movie is at the very beginning. She's in class watching like a video of all the other students. And she turns around and there's a boy like hiding under a blanket and masturbating in class. And then she's like, ugh, and looks at him weird. And when that happened, for a second, I was like, oh, is it going to be like really over the top and unnecessary? But nothing like that happens for the rest of the film.
That is like, I'm not sure, really gross.
I know. It's like, I guess that could happen at school maybe, but that's the one standout moment that feels really out there, and the rest of the film is very low-key and subtle. And so, I remember watching an interview of Bo Burnham, and he said, like, in movies people are so goddamn confrontational about everything.
Yeah,
but he said, like, in real life, if I hear someone raising their voice in the supermarket three aisles down, I tense up. Like, it's like, yeah, in real life people are scared of other people and of things in general.
So what you're saying is there's no moment in this movie where the character walks through a door and gets slimed.
Absolutely not. And there are so many moments where it's setting up that something really awful could happen. I'm trying to get myself in focus here. And it's just great. There's a bit where she's got to go to like an open day at a high school, and they're paired up with other high schoolers. And like, the high schoolers are really nice. And they're like, oh my God, once you get to high school, like, it's so much better. Everyone's so much more accepting of everyone. And I thought, yeah, I massively felt that once I got to like,
yep,
GCSE A level age. I guess it depends where you go as well. I think I was pretty lucky with my school in general, but it's like, it doesn't feel clicky anymore. People were just nice to each other.
Yep.
Especially at sixth form, obviously we felt that. Yeah, and there's just a lot of moments like that. There's one specific moment, again, I'm not going to spoil it, but it feels like something really, really extreme and terrible is about to happen. And then it doesn't. It's still really bad, but it's much more realistic about how it happens. That's and cool. It's kind of... I'm really trying not to spoil things because I think you should definitely watch this film. But it's kind of like, it's a real life issue. It addresses a real life issue. But in a movie, this issue would ordinarily be addressed really over the top.
Yep.
But the thing is, issues like this need to be addressed in a more subtle way. That's because really that's how you become to notice them in real life. It's kind of like I was talking before about Get Out. I know that's old news now. But that kind of addresses a different aspect of racism, where it's not people hate him because he's black and calling the N-word and stuff, but it's more they have these expectations of him because he's black. Oh, you must be really athletic.
That was a really funny way of turning that on its head in that movie.
Yeah, because that's such a real issue of racism, but it's never addressed in movies, and therefore people will go thinking, oh, black men are really fast, they can jump really high, they've got really big penises, and then they're like, that's not racist, that's nice. Like, no, that's still racist. But it's not really the same, but it's kind of like that. It's addressing that this is still bad just because it's not really over the top extreme. It's still a really bad thing that's happened.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. It's just a great film.
I'm going to watch that. That's a good recommendation. That sounds cool.
Yeah. And it's both criticizing, you know, kind of the obsession with technology that young people have, or all people have really nowadays. But it's also very sensitive to those issues, and it's very sympathetic towards her.
You can
see why she's so obsessed with it, and she feels like she needs to keep up to date with everything because of, you know, everyone else.
The pressures of school.
Being that age. You know, kids, yeah, nowadays with all social media and stuff. It's tough stuff. But it's really good, and it's really sweet, and it's really funny.
God, you know, I actually think we experienced enough of that pressure of social media. I can't imagine how much worse it is now.
Yeah, I think we were quite lucky at our time. With us, it was kind of... I mean, people probably did still feel that when we were at school, but...
I felt that.
Us personally kind of stayed out of it a little bit.
It wasn't too bad. Like, the big thing when I was in like beginning of high school was BlackBerry Messenger, which is completely different.
That's true.
And I felt pressure to get. I didn't get a BlackBerry. Thank God.
I did.
But oh, you did? Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's so funny.
I got a BlackBerry. I was on BBM. I was pinging people.
Yeah, see, I was in that, and I saw my friends who had BlackBerries, and I was like, I feel like I'm missing out. Because there are these jokes that are being passed around school. It's kind of like Yik Yak, in that you got like these funny little updates from funny things that happened in school.
It's just completely anonymous.
I felt pressure like, man, I should probably buy this thing. I wasn't going to miss out. But then my closest friends didn't have BlackBerries. So it's like, eh. And eventually didn't get one. And then these people, you know, are saddled with... When BlackBerry Messenger got old news, and these people are saddled with BlackBerries for the next 2 years.
I mean, the thing with me, I think my BlackBerry was my first like proper phone.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, I had like a really old trash Nokia just so I could like phone my mum if I was in trouble.
Yeah.
So it was less kind of the pressure of getting this thing and more just I need a new phone.
Yeah.
BlackBerries are big at the moment, so they must be good. But yeah, I never really had that really intense social media pressure. Like I had Facebook and I used it, but I didn't have Twitter or Instagram until quite recently. I never had like MySpace or anything. Well, I feel like we kind of missed the boat for that. But yeah, I think we just didn't have it as bad.
No.
Snapchat was later for us.
Snapchat so that was fine. A thing, but when Snapchat happened with us, it was like we were old enough.
Like university, maybe.
For it not to be completely stupid. No, Snapchat wasn't university. Snapchat was...
No, it was sixth form, actually, yeah.
I mean, for me, it was before that. It was like year 10.
Fair.
But it was kind of...
We're just not that until then as well.
It was kind of like, whatever. I mean, like you said, when you get to the end of high school, it's like, people are more chill generally.
Yeah.
And Snapchat was just kind of stupid and fun.
Yeah.
Whereas I can definitely see Snapchat being a pressure thing now.
Yeah.
Not to mention Instagram and all that crap, which I just don't want to use for myself.
I like love Instagram because I've perfectly tailored it to how I want to use it.
Yes.
But I can't imagine how some people, because I mean certain people as well, like teenage girls and stuff, probably do use it.
That's what I mean. Like a body image thing.
Kardashians, yeah, a body image thing. But for me, it's like I look at images of pottery and video games. Like, but yeah, I imagine it's very tough.
I exclusively use Reddit. Reddit and then YouTube.
I've kind of been using less and less Reddit lately. I think Reddit for me is probably the biggest one where Reddit's probably had, this sounds dumb, but Reddit's probably had the worst effects on my mental health overall. Even though I kind of thought it would have the opposite effects, because it's like, you go on Facebook and go on a public post and all the comments just depress you. But I think the thing with Reddit is, and it's probably my fault for tailoring it to this, but it just pushed so much negative news and stuff at me.
I completely
especially
agree.
At the moment. And it's like, I don't need this. So I definitely have been using less of it.
It's frustrating because all I want, really, and I don't need Reddit for this, but it's so good for just game and movie news.
Yeah.
Like, you get stuff on Reddit before anywhere else gets it. And I'll be honest, I just think that your classic websites and articles, the big ones, there are probably so many small websites that I haven't heard of, which are fantastic and have really good writers on. But I don't know what they are. The big boys are just terrible. And quite often these websites get their information from Reddit. So
yeah,
I'd rather just go to the source sort of thing.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that I use Reddit for, really. I try to avoid it with stuff.
Partly my fault for just, I don't know, following certain subreddits and stuff that I shouldn't be. But yeah, anyway, that's eighth grade. It's going back. Yeah, it's like, you know, the popular characters, the bully characters, the boy she has a crush on. They're not cliche. They seem like real human beings.
Yeah.
They're not just teenagers. They're people. The bully character doesn't call her four eyes and push her down. Like, she just is kind of indifferent towards her. Like, she'll go up to her and talk to her, and she'll just be looking at her phone the whole time, like, yeah. Like, just kind of ignoring her.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's, you know, that's what bullying is, I guess. It's all this over-the-top stuff. Yeah. Highly recommend 8th grade. Very good film. Very emotional at times. Very sweet.
So,
over to you.
Why watching it? We're approaching the end of this podcast, so I'll keep it nice and quick. But
go for it. I did ramble for a while.
It was a good ramble. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you.
The obvious elephant in the room here, which is something that I don't want to talk about on this podcast, is WandaVision.
Yeah.
Which obviously we've been doing updates on that quite regularly.
I forgot that was last week.
I don't particularly want to. I don't really want to shove WandaVision discussion into the podcast right now.
Yeah, we'll probably end up talking for 3 hours.
I would rather that was potentially a separate video if we wanted to do that.
I'm down for that.
I have been watching Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I also won't talk about because we've seen it. That's where I'm up to on my Marvel list. And
very nice.
This film that I've never heard of, which is really, really good, and I highly recommend you check it out.
Yeah.
It's called The Invisible Guest.
Ooh.
And
is it sequel to The Invisible Man?
It is not. That would have been quite interesting to have a sequel that you'd not to The Invisible Man that you hadn't heard of. it is, I can't remember what country it is actually. I completely forgot.
Spanish.
I honestly, such a high recommendation. You need to watch this movie.
Ooh.
It is really, really interesting. I will quickly outline the premise. This is just the opening bit.
Yeah.
There's been a man accused of a murder.
Yeah.
And basically the entire movie is him talking to a lawyer about how he's going to win his defense case. And she says to him, you have got, it's like you have like 180 minutes, I think she said.
Yeah.
To talk to me. I want no BS. You need to tell me the whole story.
Yeah.
And I am one of the best lawyers in the country. I have not, I'm retiring next week. I do not want to lose this final case. I want to win this. I am brilliant. I am smarter than you. So this type of character.
Yeah.
And she's like, tell me everything and we're going to sort you out.
Yeah.
And the whole movie is basically trying to figure out how this murder happened, how this man was framed, and basically like how they're going to develop a case to set him free.
Interesting.
And it is a twisty, turny, awesome movie that constantly surprises you the whole time. I really enjoyed it.
Man. I mean, it's got really good reviews.
Yeah. I was so surprised by how good it was.
Yeah. What's it on? Is it on Netflix?
That's the thing. It's on Netflix. It's right there, ready to go. It's really easy to access, which is... I just find it so difficult these days. Like, normally the film to watch just isn't on any streaming platform that you're actually paying for.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend you go and watch that.
I think I will, you know.
Watch it with your family, and it's a good treat.
No, I mean, it sounds like something my parents would enjoy. A nice little murder mystery sort of thing.
That's
very good stuff.
I haven't got more to say about that because I don't want to discuss it in any way, because you need to watch it and figure it out for yourself, sort of thing.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice.
So that concludes Sandbox episode number 45. I hope you enjoyed listening to our voices this time this week.
Yeah.
If you would like to listen to more Sandbox, there's another 44 episodes waiting for you. You're in for a treat. Trust me.
Click right here
on whatever platform that you are either watching or listening this podcast on. Please do subscribe if you're on YouTube, or I don't know, refresh Spotify, you know how it is. And you'll be able to hear me say the word "so" another 45 times.
Yeah, we did address that last week.
And you'll be able to hear Jack do his famous finishes. Probably not another 44 times. I think Jack only developed his famous last lines, you know, in the last 15 or so episodes. But
yeah. Well, my main catchphrase is me going, yup.
You do say yup quite a lot.
Yeah. And yeah.
And yeah.
I like to agree.
If you agree that this was a good podcast, then there's also a like button.
Yeah,
or you can just wire transfer us $1 billion.
If this episode on YouTube gets 50 yups in the comments section, we will release Jamie's national insurance number.
Also, another treat that you get at the end of each podcast is me talking about how no one gets to this point, which happens every episode. We always get to this point where we talk about this bit.
If you have got to this point in the podcast, comment "Piers Morgan was out debated by his weatherman" in the description.
I saw that. It's brilliant. And with that, I give Jack the final word.
"Piers Morgan was out debated by his weatherman." What a snowflake.